Rome provided other things too. Roman law. A system of law, a system of public courts, a system of public justice, a system of order throughout this world. Rome provided a vast system of roads. To understand the importance of the Roman system of roads, one has only today to drive in Britain, to drive in France, to drive in Italy. And when you drive on the autoroute and the autostrada, you're driving on the Roman roads. The Romans knew exactly where to put roads, and they built quite remarkable roads, roads that were preserved down into modern times, and then, of course, paved over and turned into modern tollways in various countries of Europe. The Romans ruled through cities. Every province of the Roman world was equipped with urban government, and when Romans went into a city, they gave those cities a set of urban amenities. They would create amphitheaters. They would create theaters. They would create bathhouses. They would create fora. They would create a whole panoply of great public buildings. To travel in the Roman world, in what was the Roman world today, the Mediterranean world, is to still see many of these buildings in lots and lots of places. Cities flourished. Under the Romans, urban life flourished. Now, largely that was a result of Roman peace, that was a result of Roman fostering of economic opportunity, and it was also due to the fact that the Romans ruled through cities, and that cities played a decisive role in the Roman system. How did the Pax Romana work? How did the Pax Romana work, not at Rome, where, as we've seen, what we have is this elegant and tenuous partnership between military dictators and senatorial elites, but how did it work out there in the empire, in this vast area ruled by Rome? First, let's bear in mind, Rome asked for relatively little. They collected taxes, but that wasn't new. People had been paying taxes or tributes to various rulers for a long time. They asked for loyalty. They asked for loyalty. Now, that really was a negative thing. People were not to act against Rome's interests. It wasn't a positive thing. Rome didn't actually ask people to do very much. They asked them not to harm Rome's interests. So for the vast majority of people around the Mediterranean world, Roman rule was no more onerous than any of the rules they had experienced previously, and in some cases, it was actually more benevolent. It's important also to bear in mind that the Roman regime was simply too small to demand very much. The entire Roman administration consisted of a few hundred administrators, a few hundred administrators, this vast world. The Roman army was not used as a police force. It certainly wasn't used as a secret police force. It wasn't used to maintain control over people. It was used to defend the frontiers of the empire. So the Roman presence was absent. The vast majority of people in the Roman world would never have laid eyes on a Roman official or a Roman soldier, much less a Roman emperor. So the Romans were not a constant presence. So the question then is, what made people buy in? The process of what we call Romanization, people going over to the Romans, adopting, yes, Latin, adopting some of the trappings of Roman culture, but in particular showing their loyalty to Rome, was a very long, a very slow, a very steady, and largely a voluntary project. The Romans did not demand Romanization. People throughout the Roman Empire slowly but surely Romanized themselves, embraced various trappings of Roman culture. Now, one of the things that we will see in a later lecture is that slowly but surely, people learned how to retain their Romanization and decouple that from loyalty to Rome. So I'll just signal that now as a theme we'll come back to. But now, people Romanize and couple themselves to Rome. There was much in Rome for them. Well, despite all of the positives and Gibbon's glowing assessment, the storm clouds were gathering. As we'll see in later lectures, eventually the Augustan Principate also failed, as indeed the Roman Republic had failed before it. But none of this should blind us to the remarkable achievements of these two centuries when, as I suggested at the outset, no one at their inception would have wagered that this Roman world had the tiniest chance at peace and order and security. Augustus's achievement was a quite remarkable one.